Thank you for tuning in to Astor Investment Management's podcast series. This week, our Chief Executive Officer, Rob Stein, and Senior Managing Director, Mac O'Brien, discuss the current economic outlook in the era of COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you both for joining us today.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. This is Mac O'Brien here with Rob Stein, CEO and founder of Astor Investment Management. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Mac. Good. Good. All circumstances considering, for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Sabila, thank you again for the introduction. So today is a special edition of the Astor podcast series where Rob's going to give some color on some recent economic data that's been released, specifically jobless claims. So we're going to segue into the Astor Economic Index, which most of our listeners are familiar with, but it is our proprietary index that Rob and John created that essentially factors in different economic data and gives you an overall temperature gauge of the U.S. economy. Is it getting healthier or is it getting weaker?
An interesting analogy, Mac, in this time frame.
Yeah, I guess very true. And then we will segue into the Fed stimulus packages, the latest one that was announced this morning. Today is April 9th, Thursday. So let's get into it, Rob.
Sure.
This morning, the same time that the jobless claims was released, the Fed announced the stimulus package, but let's stick to jobless claims for now. 2 weeks ago, we had around, I think it was 6 million people filing for unemployment. Last week, there was 3.5 or so people filing for unemployment, and now we're back to 6 million. We understand that it was going to be high. You've been watching unemployment data for a very long time. What are your thoughts on this?
So, you know, as you pointed out, employment trends are very important to the Astor Economic Index. The Astor Economic Index is very important to how much stock we have in portfolios. You know, and you know, people in the Astor circle know, and our investors, that employment trends don't need to be absolute. It's the relative part of it. We saw some things in output and in employment trends at the end of 2019. That had us concerned and reducing risk of the portfolio while things were still moving in the right direction, which made us feel that you could have higher stock prices. But what the economic index was telling us was an outside event were to happen, it would have a larger impact on stocks. Now, nobody could predict this. No one could have predicted 9/11. No one could have predicted the severity of the financial crisis. But what you could foresee is the conditions, use a probably inappropriate analogy right now, but the health of the economy would have a different reaction to events that you couldn't see. Now, recent events with, you know, COVID, et cetera, a strong economy would have suffered. But coming into it, you definitely were in a position where it's suffering more. So employment, as you were talking about, based on the jobless claims, has reached a level that, let's just call it max, whether it's 1 million, 6 million, 10 million, it's all saying the same thing. Are the last three any different than the first nine of what their impact is going to be, you know, whether you're a hunter or whatever it is? And so I think that we're in that spot right now. You have large, if not larger than expected claims, higher employment than you would have expected. Trying to forecast it right now is guessing. And, you know, at Astor, we don't look at magnitude. We look at direction. If the economy is at a level that we think supports higher stock prices and they go up 8, 18, 28, we say, gee, we got that right. We wanted to own stocks because we thought they were going up. Conversely, if the economy isn't being supported by the acceleration that employment put trends, et cetera, need to be, we think that the risk return for equity prices is not good, and we don't really forecast how challenging it's going to be. And so based on the recent data, it's all saying the same thing. The risk reward for owning stocks right now don't support having a large position in risk assets.
And I think that's so important to grasp as an investor, right? I mean, we're not saying that the economy is, I mean, weak or is it healthy? Is it weaker than it has been over the recent past? And you just referenced terrorist attack of 2001, financial crisis of 2008, and you point to those. And I want to just take the listeners back a second, because if you haven't looked at the Astor Economic Index, you can do so by going to astorim.com/charts to see a current reading as well as the historical movement of the Astor Economic Index. But what we're saying is when the economy is weaker than it has been, the likelihood of an event or some sort of negative impact on stock prices, it's far greater if the economy is weaker. And so if you look in 1999-2000, the economy was showing signs of sickness. And then 2006 and 2007, you started to see some downward trends and some very important economic data points. And we saw that also last year, in 2019, we started to see the moderation of the Astor Economic Index, primarily due to manufacturing. And so, Rob, with the jobs data that come out, where is the Astor Economic Index right now? Do you see these jobs coming back? I mean, how fast can the economy spring back?
So, you know, the economic index, anybody's knowledge of it is going to be at some of its lowest levels. And most interesting, Mac, is it got there much quicker than any time in the past. I guess that's a good thing. You know, you don't know which direction the market's going to go on any one day, no matter what the data point is. So, you know, if it takes a few days, weeks for the data to catch up, who knows whether that is a better place to adjust the portfolio. And, actually, when the first really bad number, jobless claims came out, I think the market had its best day ever. So there's a lot of moving around in stock prices, very volatile, which would suggest reduced exposure. And maybe it hurts when you have a couple of up weeks, and maybe you're thankful when it has a couple of down weeks. But the Astra Economic Index can move quickly. It just proved that, and how quickly it went from what was mid-50s down to zero. It wouldn't surprise me, Mac, if the data equally as fast, but faster than typical, turned around. I don't know that we're going to get 10 million people added to the workforce in 90 days, but clearly some of this will be given back. There will be people who aren't filing unemployment claims in the next 60 days, and you'll start to see the numbers swing back the other way. And again, touting the economic index, the fact that it looks at it in a relative basis, we aren't going to need all 10 million to get a positive number to say the all clear is here. Now, we look at it in a very sophisticated way, and we use a lot of high school math as we aggregate the economic data, but it should move quickly, quicker than in the past. I think things go down faster than they go up, but and not being worried that we're a day late or a week late or a month late, because if we start to go into an expansion, it should be long enough to participate in it, regardless of what day you've got involved.
Yeah, interesting. With the jobless claims number this morning came, it's almost like the Fed knew the jobless claims number and they wanted to announce the stimulus at the same time. But you served on the Fed, right, under Paul Volcker. You wrote a book on Greenspan. The word unprecedented is used too often, but it's relevant to the stimulus package being put out today and then last week before. Run me through your thoughts on the stimulus package. I mean, the Fed has wanted inflation. They're certainly going to get it. Touch upon inflation a little bit. I mean, where is your head at? Is it a good stimulus package?
Sure. I think we're going to be getting inflation. Pure definition of inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. We clearly have the too much money about into the economy. Arguably, and maybe there's some would counter that, too few goods, obviously the supply chain disrupted. So you're going to have that classic definition. Unlike inflation in the past, which was a monetary phenomenon, they'd increase the money supply. Inventories were much more challenging to calculate, to go from oversupply to undersupply quicker, and you'd get, you know, kind of this demand pull at inflation. We're going to see that on the pure definition. It might be something that takes a year, maybe 18 months, who knows. But I think the Fed is encouraged by that. I think they've been trying to whip disflation now for 10 years, had a deflationary expansion, I call it. What I see is this is an end to it. Now, it's probably all contingent on whether the economy gets reignited. I can only assume that it will. It's just about when. The reality, Mac, at some point, the water's already frozen, whether it's 25 degrees or 5 degrees or negative 5 degrees.
It's cold.
It's cold and you still got ice cubes, right? Looking at the data now, it's real bad or real, real bad. They're all saying the same thing. You're going to react the same way to all of it. But the other side of it, the way that Aster looks at it, is good data points for the economic index could happen quicker and could take less than it would to start an expansion. However, your particular economist that you talk to every day looks at what growth is. And I'm not saying that they look at it in any way inferior to the way that we look at it, but we think correlates more to stock prices. And you might see where the environment looks like it's getting worse, but compare something to 10 million, you stand in a spot where less worse is good for stock prices.
And that's always the case, right? I mean, it's expectations. And then as long as expectations are exceeded, I mean, you look like in 2009, we've talked ad nauseum in the past about 2009. First quarter of 2009, there was some promising economic data. I'm not going to say that it was positive, right? But it was less worse than it had been, which gave you and the investment committee kind of to go ahead to add risk into the portfolios.
They coined a term there, right? So Mac, didn't mean to cut you off, but I think there was a term back in the late 90s called irrational exuberance, and that was foretelling. There were some things that you should be mindful of in the past. And in 2009, you might recall, they called something a green shoot. There's green shoots in the economy. Now, looking at what's happening in February and March, it was challenging to see the green shoots over the snow. But there were some interesting things that were happening. Negative unemployment was moderating. Many people don't know this, but the NASDAQ was flat. Job growth, to the extent there was any, was in the technology sector. And at least you could point to something that had become a significant part of the economy that wasn't declining anymore. If you notice that, perhaps it was an indication to add some stock to the portfolio.
Yeah, and right now what we're saying in terms of the Astra Economic Index and the data is that looking at a short-term look-back window, it's worse. The data is worse than it has been. I'll kind of ask you a tough question that most people dodge, but given what's happening in the economy right now, I mean, where should a portfolio be positioned?
Yeah, so it's not a tough question. Based on what Aster does, the risk-reward ratios are pretty high. With the economic data pinned, if you will, and the volatility and risk-reward in the marketplace, a portfolio should be very, very risk-reduced. But there are things that you can do. There are some assets that we talked about, inflation. If you believe that, perhaps early stages of inflation are good for gold. You have TIPS. Inflation-protected bonds. There's places to go in a portfolio with lower risk than just owning stocks in the portfolio that you can build around.
Yeah, and to your point, when the data starts to get less bad, whatever that may be, whether it's later this year or in 2021, that's when Aster has the mechanisms and the ability to kind of read that data and potentially add risk back into the portfolios.
Right. The economic data that is coming out now is somewhat meaningless. Like we already know it's bad and no one can predict how bad. Sort of roll my eyes, 10 million, 8 million. We just know that it's bad, and whatever position or however portfolio you want to construct, probably not any different if you've lost 3 million jobs or 13 million jobs.
Yep.
Which is not good.
Rob, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. To our listeners, we have a lot coming down the pipe. We have more economic data being released to discuss. We have the stimulus package, potentially more phases of it. And the current phase is how it's going to impact jobless claims and small businesses, employment rate, and the economy as a whole. Continue to tune in. Rob, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see how things develop.
Great. All right. Happy to share my thoughts. Cheers.
Thanks, Rob.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you.
Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services at any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.